All right. I want to greet you all this morning. I'm glad to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us apply it, Lord, to our lives. We just again ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you, bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Open our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 27. To comment just a little on Tyler's thoughts there. He read that to whom much is given, if you're given a small amount, you'll receive a small amount. And if you give a lot, you'll receive a lot. And we think of that, and it's used, like he touched on there, was that, people teach that if you give God, he'll just pour it back out on you. You can't outgive God, is they're saying, and that is true. But that's not what the purpose of this verse is for. The purpose of this verse is not just so he can make you prosperous, but if you give a little, then he gives a little back. You can only give so much. You can only be so much of a vessel. But what he's teaching there is that if you give, you're worthy of giving more. And it's not just in money, but in whatever you do. If you avail yourself to the Lord and you give yourself to him, he'll give you more so that you can give more to him. Or do more for him. People say, how do I be a better servant of the Lord? Well, whatever he has given you, use it to its fullest potential, and he'll give you more. So that because you will use it to its fullest potential. It's more than just so he'll make me prosperous. He knows that he can trust you with what he's given you. So if he gives a little, he'll give you a little. And the more of that you give, the more he will give you so that you can grow. That's a way we can grow. Not, like I said, not only financially, but in every aspect of our life. Whatever the Lord has given you, give it back to him. And then you're showing yourself worthy of having it in the first place, and he'll give you more to give back to him. We kind of get stuck sometimes. All right, I want to read that, and that goes along with that thought, that idea, goes along with what I want to read this morning. I think I'll say a part of a verse before I read this, just to kind of bring my thought out. It says, "Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do with all your might." We teach that to our children. We've taught that to young people. That whatever you're given to do, do your best. Give it your all. And that is something, a very good thing to live by. A good principle to apply to ourselves. But there's another element in that that we often forget sometimes. I mean, we can get stuck on that. Now, I just want to read this verse, and then we'll kind of develop that a little further, Lord willing. Verse 27, Mark chapter 8. Says, "Jesus went out along with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do people say that I am?' they told him, saying, John the Baptist. And others say, Elijah. But others, one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Okay. Who do people say that I am? He asked them. You know, it doesn't really matter who people say that he is. He knew who he was. He already knew who he was. He wasn't trying to prove anything to anybody. He was. He just was. I am. He was who he was. And people who recognized that saw that. And they followed him. He didn't have to go convince people who he was. He just was. And he asked this question to see what his disciples, to see if they understood what he was really trying to say to them. He wasn't trying to get them to understand who he was. He was trying to teach them a principle here. He was trying to see, let them see that they understood this principle. Who do people say that I am? You know, I think about Jesus. And while he was on this earth, do you think that he did the best that he could in everything that he did? I think he did. Do you think that he reached the full potential of what he could have reached as a man on this earth? You see, this is where the putting your hand and being diligent, where it kind of takes a turn here. His goal and his purpose was to be who he was. And it didn't matter how successful he appeared to everyone else. It was that he was. And so he did reach his full potential of just being who he was on the earth. But when we look at him from a humanly standpoint, he kind of looks like a failure. He looks like, for someone applying his whole heart to whatever he would do, well, he should have been a lot more successful than this. But he wasn't. He was successful in what he was supposed to do, and he was diligent in all the things that he had to do to survive and live, but yet he didn't become one of the wealthiest men in the world. But he could have. Could have. You know, sometimes we have a little question, or we'll have, well, if you do the best you can, that means you just gotta be the best you can. But it doesn't go out that way. When you do the best you can do the best you can without reaching every potential that's available. In fact, we probably shouldn't reach every potential that's available to us. Well, you're not doing the best you can then. Well, it depends on which best you can you're looking at. You know, we look at Jesus. He could have been a king. A great leader. But he just didn't reach his full potential, did he? Just didn't quite reach his full potential. Or did he? And he continued by questioning, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. You know, when Peter said that he was the Christ, you know what was dancing through Peter's mind? He is going to reach his full potential here. You know, Peter was looking at him and just seeing what was there. And he was just trying to, you're not reaching your full potential here. I think that's what Peter was thinking whenever he was talking to Jesus. Why don't you just break loose here and just really be the Christ? That's what he was trying to draw out of him. And Jesus told him the exact opposite picture. I'm going to be rejected by everybody you think that should accept me. I'm going to be despised by everyone that you think should hold me in honor. I'm going to be lifted up on a tree. I'm going to be crucified when you think I should be put on a throne and be the king. You see, to Peter, Jesus wasn't reaching his full potential. But to God, Jesus was reaching his full potential. It's kind of hard for us sometimes to really put everything in to what we're doing. It's really hard for us to really do the best we can when, after we've done our best, we get nothing for it. We don't gain. We don't prosper. We've done the best we could. You know, when people have the attitude of just doing their best, it's the natural inclination for them to have the attitude of a winner. You know? And we don't. Someone with that desire to do their best don't like not being a winner. But right there's where things change into the other realm. And it's a little hard for us sometimes to have to lose. And he was, verse 32, and he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Here again, Peter, come here, Jesus. You're not seeing something here. I think you can be the Christ. I think you can reach your full potential, the gifts that God has given you, and be the king of this world. Peter began to rebuke him because he wasn't doing the best that he could in Peter's eyes. You know, the world does not understand someone that could have the whole world but lets it go for a higher world. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." But there it is. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. You see, men that are successful with God have the ability. You know, we think sometimes they're just a poor lot, or they're just a simple lot, or they're just a little bunch of nothings. But that's not who Jesus called in the Bible. It's not who God called in the Bible. God called some great men in the Bible. We think of Paul. I mean, he could have conquered the world, I think, with his abilities and his talents. And yet what did he do? He threw them away to promote this man that didn't reach his full potential in the world. You know, I think of Paul and Jesus and how successful they could have been in this life. How successful they could have been in this life. God gave them something. And they took what God gave them, and God gave them more. And we can take that to the other level. We can take what God gives us and build on it, and it'll grow and grow and grow and prosper in this world. Paul could have been one of the most successful men in this history, in the world. But he didn't. He took what God gave him, and God blessed him tenfold with what he gave him. Verse 34, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Here's where it gets a little difficult. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, we hear people, I've heard it before, of a sports star. Well, God gave you that ability to be such an athlete, and I'll just waste it if I don't use it for that. Or singing ability, and I can just be a famous singer and give God glory. That's exactly what Peter would have counseled. There's a higher calling. And it's hard for us, people who work hard, people who do things that are right, are diligent, efficient, and we have the world right at our grasp to reach our full potential. And it's difficult for us sometimes just to let that one go by us. I've got another responsibility. I've got another duty. I've got a higher calling. And we have to deny ourselves. You know, it's denying ourselves, not just denying some little whim that comes along. It's denying ourselves like Jesus did. He could have been a king. He could have been the leader of the world. He could have just handled it all and could have done it. But he denied himself and stuck with God's plan for his life. Paul, same way, could have been one of the most successful men in the world. But he denied himself and just stuck with what God gave him. He denied himself. He took up his cross and followed. Like I said, it's a little hard for us sometimes to, you know, we teach, if at first you don't succeed, try again. That spirit of just keeping on, get defeated and get back up and go again. And those are good things. But when it comes to really just reaching all the potential that's out there for us, we don't want that attitude to jump over into that level, to jump over into that side of the potential, but to keep it on God's side. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. When doing our best is not the best. It might look like we're gaining the best. There's a higher thing. Reaching the potential that God has for us and not our own. You know, it's I think part of that is we hate to see injustice. A righteous man, hates unjustness. You know, that's where we often can separate religion. Religion doesn't see someone being unjustly treated. They just see their cause, their religion. And in most cases, they wind up being the one persecuting or unjustly treating someone, and they don't see the injustice. We look around us and we see things going on in the world and we see injustice. And I think that's where Peter was at, the injustness of it all. Of this man that could be the king, but yet he chooses not to be. It just isn't right. It just doesn't seem right. And it's hard for us to swallow. But I think he got to the place where he saw it. The point I'm trying to make is that it is hard for us to see unjustness sometimes. A righteous person sees it and they hate it and they try to fix it. But fixing every unjust injustice doesn't necessarily prove to be true righteousness. We have to learn to know God's will and see His will and be readily willing to surrender to Him, to do the very best that we can, and then leave the rest of it to God. To put in everything that we have into whatever we do. Give the rest of it to God. To give the results of it to God. To make sure that we're surrendered to Him. We don't have to reach our full potential to be successful. We have that many examples in the Bible. That they surrendered the full potential for their life to bring glory to the one who gave himself for us. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything you'd like to share or add?
I mean, we can do that spiritually too. ourselves spiritually. We think we just never can quite reach. And so we feel less than that because of it. Mm-hmm. And instead of just that.
Mm-hmm. We've got a big idea of what we think we ought to be, and by keeping our eye on that idea, we fail to just take the step right in front of us. And that's all that's required. And we can get lazy and say, well, God doesn't want me to be too successful, so we just get lazy then. And there's people that fall into that category too. Do the best you can with everything you do, but you don't always have to be successful at it or appearing successful at it.
Our assignment was to remember something that my dad said in his sermon, and I remember that he talked about how he told the story of his little brother running, jumping out of the car and getting on the trike and going down the hill. And he said how sometimes it's not necessary to set people straight because it takes care of itself.
I kind of like the story about the young Mennonite men who weren't able to let their homeland be taken by whoever it was. Can't remember. But anyways, we need to be careful not to sink our hopes and roots into something so deep that if God wants us to give that up, we aren't able to.
A little like Micah was saying, I was thinking about how he was saying not to sink your roots too deep here on this earth. And it's just a good reminder to remind that we're just here for a little bit and we'll be going to something much better. And so it's just encouraging to remember that this isn't the place where we will stay. Another thing he said was he was talking about how good God is. He said that he read the verse how the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and he sends rain to them. And so he gives everybody blessings even if they aren't following his word. That's just how good he is.
I also got how when he was saying that you shouldn't put your roots down too deep because so far we've had a pretty good life here. And it can be really easy for us to just get really attached to that. And when times may come where we may have to leave that in order to keep following Christ, we have to be able to let go of things.
He talked about how we need to grow with the good things that God gives us and turn from the bad.
He talked about love in the last part of how love is the strongest thing. I forget how he phrased it, but he said love is the bond of all things. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
I like the part where Marcus told the story about one of his sons left a carburetor on the table, and maybe his response to that wasn't the greatest. And growing up, I think I can learn that sometimes I don't respond to things the way I probably should. I think it's a good lesson for all of us that the way we respond to things, I think, helps build character. And I think it's good to make sure we're responding to things the right way.
Everybody has responsibilities, but some have more than others.
The world is the apple of God's eye, and he, even if it's the apple of his eye, he lets there be not so good things in it, because he doesn't just set us straight, he lets us have our own choice.
It's a blessing to be here this morning with y'all, and I'm going to present a portion of Luke chapter 6, which is, I think, is the Sermon on the Mount, probably the same strand as Matthew chapter 5 or 6, I don't know. But I'll have to find exactly where it is here in a second. We'll start in verse 37 of Luke chapter 6. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Says with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That kind of goes along with what was said first. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. But I guess what I've been thinking about a lot lately is the part where it talks about give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And it's interesting how it says, with the measure you use, it's almost like a measuring cup, you know. If you have a teaspoon, you're just going to get a teaspoon back. If you've got an entire cup or even a gallon, you're going to get that much back, you know. But I don't think the point is to give just so we'll get back. But the point is, in order to be a part of Christ's body, we've got to give our lives. And if we do that, we receive the greatest blessing in the world, which is to be a part of it. And I was thinking about it like a stream. If we're just fighting, you know, to hold on, to say like a root at the side of the stream, and the stream is love, it's flowing and it's alive, but if we're just using all of our energy and just trying to hold on to our life and not just let go into that current, then we can't give, nor can we receive. And it's also like what Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. So, but the point is, the greatest blessing is that we can be a part of a family, and we can love one another and help one another, and it's something that flows in a full circle. It doesn't just stop at anybody. And another thing is, we've been given so much. And, well, Christ, he's given his life for us. And our parents, they love us. They take care of us. They want the best for us. Not only do they want us to prosper, I guess not only in material things, but also in our spiritual well-being, just our attitude. And they see our attitude, and they know that a bad attitude will not prosper. It won't fit in God's kingdom. It won't fit in any sort of body of any kind, any team or any, not the church. And so they're really looking out for our good spiritually. And I don't know, it's just such a grand, when I think about Christ's body, that's a grand thought. It's just everybody just does what they're supposed to do. And so that's that thought, and I might read a little bit more just to finish the thoughts. He also told them this parable, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good store, stored up in his heart. But an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So let us be full of good things and strive to do that. And I believe that we'll have more than enough to give to others.
Christ's everlasting gospel is ringing out again. His message of salvation is peace, goodwill to men. The sin has hurled its weapons and evil hosts of sin. The gospel of Christ Jesus has evermore prevailed. Our King. Well,